May be seated. Will you bow with me as we pray? God, as we have just sung, our prayer is that we would be those living sanctuaries that might be filled with your presence, that your spirit, that your life would not only flow through us but reside within us, continuing to call us and to shape us and to make us into the people that you need us to be as a part of the body of Christ. So as your living sanctuaries, may we continue to be not only filled by your Spirit, but by your Word. And so as your Scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this morning we come to the portion of Ecclesiastes that is probably the best known portion of Ecclesiastes. And I'll have to say it's not because we are all so diligent in reading and studying our Bibles that we're familiar with it, but we can thank Pete Seeger, who wrote that song, Turn, 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 and really didn't have a whole lot of writing to do, because most of that song comes directly from the King James Version of Ecclesiastes 3, verses 2 through 8. And he added that phrase, turn, 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 but other than the melody that's really catchy, he used the text from this passage. Now, I think that that song has done a little bit of a disservice to this particular text, because it's given us a pretty sentimental, romanticized version of it. And yet, we need to take a look at what exactly is this passage saying? What is it saying to us as far as how we understand what these words mean? Within this, we have Kohelet, the writer, the speaker, the teacher in Ecclesiastes, opening up in verse 1, saying, "Everything, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." He's basically saying, you know what, there are all kinds of things that are going to happen in this life and in this world. There's a season for everything, and as Christians, we need to think about what do we understand that to mean to us when he says there's a season. On Wednesday, when we talked about this, I pointed out that Wesleyan theology is distinctive from Calvinist theology as far as how we understand God's agency and how God works in the world. For a Calvinist, you may have heard the term predestination. And for a strict Calvinist, that notion is that every little thing that happens, no matter what it is, happens directly because God at that moment willed for that to happen. That everything that happens is predetermined, predestined, and it's just going to happen automatically. Now, for Wesleyan, or Wesley, who took his theology from a gentleman by the name of Arminius, believe in free will. That God has created this world, and within it, there are natural laws and there are things that happen, but yet God has given us freedom to choose. Now, it doesn't mean that God is completely hands-off and remote and removed and distant from this world, but yet we are given options. We are given choices, and the greatest of those is that choice to love God. That will we love God or will we not? Because ultimately, from God's perspective, as Arminius and Wesleyans would look at it, the love that we show back to God is more meaningful if we choose to reciprocate God's love rather than being predestined and having no choice but to show it back. Would you rather be loved by someone that chooses to love you or loved by a robot that's simply programmed to do it? That's kind of that distinction. So that idea of we need to be careful that we don't see this passage as predestination, that everything's just going to happen automatically, that there's some gigantic script or program running behind the scenes, and everything that happens in this world in our life just happens because that's the way it's supposed to be. For Kohelet, he's looking at the world through his eyes of frustration, maybe some disillusionment, and trying to make sense of it. And we have this poem that is inserted here. He's already made that statement. There is a time and a season for everything under heaven. And he could have just left it there. Anything that happens, well, that's a part of all this grand scheme of things. That yes, it's going to happen at some point here or there or wherever. But he goes on and gives us this poem, and some Hebrew scholars would say this is a poetic structure, and it's not just in Hebrew, but it's a structure called a merism, which basically means you use two extremes. And we could look at this as a series of counterpoints of to be born and a time to die. But yet we know that our life is much more than just the moment we're born and the moment we leave this world. Maybe you've heard that story told at funerals about the dash that we have on a tombstone, the date of a person's birth, and at the end of it we have the date that they passed from this life, but their life is that dash and how they lived it in between. Well, a merism would take those extremes of birth and death and say, yes, we've got these bookends of it, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens in between. And so to have these counterpoints that we find in Ecclesiastes could be one way that the author is telling us there is this totality, this wide sweep of life, birth to death, planting, harvest. But as we go through this list, we recognize that there are positives and negatives as far as how we would attribute it. But then some of them, it's hard to say, well, which is the positive or which is the negative? Is the positive birth and death negative? Well, for some people, death may be a blessing when it comes. So we have this list of counterpoints. Kohelet is saying that life throws all kinds of stuff at us. But there is a time and a season, to me, is his recognition that, you know what, there is something bigger going on here. There are things at work in this world around us that we don't understand. There are connections and interactions that we aren't aware of, and there are events and situations that we have no control over. I titled my sermon this morning a little bit tongue-in-cheek, It Happens. Have most of us seen the movie Forrest Gump? It's been a few years. Toward the end of the movie, when Forrest is on that long cross-country run and has his long shaggy beard and stuff, he's running along and some guy comes running up excited and says, "Hey man, you just stepped in some dog dew." And Forrest Gump just deadpans and says, "It happens." Well, sometimes life is like that. It just happens. That we don't have a whole lot of say when things happen, how things happen, if they happen. None of us had a say in when we were born, and yet it happened. Most of us really don't have a say when our life will end, but it will happen. And for many of these circumstances, we can look at them and say, well, I don't know. I mean, we do have some choice in here, don't we? I mean, we can choose if we're going to embrace or refrain from embracing. We can choose when to gather up or when to scatter out. But we need to be careful about how we think about our own independence within some of these things. Because there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. Well, yes, we can choose whether we're going to plant or not. But if we chose to go out and plant in January in Indiana, we probably wouldn't have been very successful. That yes, we can choose whether we're going to plant or not, but yet there is an appointed time and a season when it is appropriate and right for planting to take place. Likewise, on that other side of plucking up, well, again, well, I have a choice. I don't have to go out and collect the harvest, or I get to choose when I do that. Well, yes and no, because if you planted yesterday, you're not going to be going out and plucking up today. There's an appointed season as those things happen. And so while we may have some independence and freedom to exercise within that, there are seasons of the year and seasons of the weather that we have no control over. And so Kohelet's looking at this world that we live in, and with our 21st century understanding of science and the world around us, and even some of our limitations still to fully comprehend the human body and all of these things. We know so much, but we cannot control it all. It's beyond us at times. And so for Qohelet, he looks at this world and says, there's all these things going on. We work within this, but someone greater than us is in charge of this system. And so we get to verse 9. The poem's ended. He's made all of his counterpoints of we do this, we do that, and all of this wide, all-encompassing sweep of life. And he says, what gain have the workers from their toil? We work and we try to manipulate, we try to control, and Lord knows we try to control things, don't we? We try to control, but what do we have to show for our efforts? Qohelet's still trying to understand, where do we fit into this scheme of things? And he says, my page won't stay down. He says, God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he's put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they have not found out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Kids today may be at a disadvantage with this, but how many of you grew up playing with a kaleidoscope? We all know what a kaleidoscope is, right? Those little tubes that you look through and you turn it and those colors fold out in patterns. The life that I see Qohelet describing is a life that unfolds in a beautiful way. In a way that we recognize, a way that we see that maybe a little glimpse of what might come next. We recognize maybe where things were just before that moment, maybe a little bit of where it goes, but we don't have the whole scope and scheme of what's going to happen. Qohelet says that we're limited in our view of this world that we live in and these lives that we live. We're limited because we cannot see. We cannot understand. We cannot know it all. But God does. Our view, our glimpse of life and what's happening in this world is a snapshot. We can look a little bit behind us. We can anticipate a little bit before us. But there's so much more that went before. And there's so much yet to come that we cannot see it all. But Qohelet says God does. God has put this in our minds to know a little bit. But I think it also serves to remind us that we must submit to God. Qohelet goes on and says, I know that whatever God does endures forever, and nothing can be added to it, and nor anything taken away. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. Just like we marvel at the beauty of that kaleidoscope, life is something beautiful to be enjoyed and appreciated. Life is a gift that God has given us. In fact, Qohelet goes on and says that God's gift is this, that we should eat and drink and take pleasure in our work. Friends, life can be challenging and life can seem like drudgery and a burden at times. And yet, in the midst of this kaleidoscope of good and bad and ups and downs, God has given us a gift to find joy in the life that we've been given. The life that you have, it happens. You've all experienced it. The highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the good and bad, the counterpoints of wonderful, the depths of despair, and everything in between. And in the midst of that, as it happens, God's desire is that we might find joy. So what does it mean for us to find joy in this life that we live? Do we fatally resign ourselves that good things are going to happen and we'll be happy when they do, and when bad things do, we just have to suck it up and know that's going to be the way it is? I don't think so. I think that part of this picture that Kohelet paints of reminding us that God has ordered all things and that under heaven, life is going to happen, to know that we're not in charge of it should free us. To be freed of the burden of having to control every little aspect of everything that happens in and around your life should free you to be able to trust that God has it sorted out and that God's desire is that you would know the blessings that life gives, that you would eat and drink and find pleasure in your daily tasks, in a life that God has given you. It's all going to happen. But may you see God behind the scenes and trust that He won't let things slip out of control. May God bless you on this journey. Amen.